What? It's recording, no? Yeah, we're already 9 seconds in. Okay, so we continue from yesterday. Story number 12, which our daf, today's daf is Ayin Dalet. So, Rabbi Baruch Hanan has met the Arab merchant who is taking him around the world and showing him all these wonderful things. So, Amr Li, the Arab merchant, says to him, Ta'achwe lach matei midbar. Come and I'm going to show you the people who died during the door of Midbar. He knows where they're buried. Azil Chazisinhu. I don't know, it can't be all of them, right? Did they each die a different year, and they all must have all been buried in different spots around the Midbar. They didn't sit in one spot. All right. So Azil Chazisinhu, I saw them, Vidamu Kamandi Basimi, and their face was as red as somebody who was drunk, meaning they never lost their rosy complexion. They bring down, that shows that they were really tzaddikim, because only tzaddikim don't rot. And since their faces were so red, they never rotted, and there were no the worms and the maggots never got to them. They were obviously tremendous tzaddikim. It makes sense because they saw stuff that no one ever saw. The gago a carpet, and they were lying on their back, and their face was facing up. So they Shulchan Aruch brings from here that you bury on the back, right? Vahave zekifa birchi d'chaminai, and one of them had their knees bent. Okay, the oil tayya'a tute birke ki rachid gamlo zekifa rumchi v'lanagi bay. So this socher was able to ride on his camel with his spear up in the air underneath the knees of this dead guy from the door in Midbar. I mean, they were really, really big. So also, now maybe put that into context, the fact that Og was 10 amos high, and that Moshe was 10 amos high, and jumped 10 amos. They were really big, and he still hit the ankle. They were very big. So now, Rabbi Baruch Hanan says, listen, I have an opportunity here now to learn something. We always say, oh, what type of tefillin did the Rebbe of Rashi wear? Did he wear Rashi tefillin or Rebbe of Tam tefillin? So through here, he says, what type of tzitzit did they wear? Did they wear it was a machlokes? It's a machlokes Beis Shammai, but you have 3 strings or 4 strings. So you want to check. What do you wear? What do they wear? So Paski Chad the Karan Dechel to the Chaminai. He cut off one of the tzitzis of the dead people to check. And lo habim mistagilon. But once he chopped it off, his animal wouldn't go anywhere. It couldn't go anywhere. So Amrlei, so the merchant says to him, Dilma Shakalta Midimai, did you take something from them? Ahidre, you have to give it back to them. Why? The Gemiri, because we have a Kabbalah that the Madishaka Midiminayu lo mistagil. Anyone who takes anything from them can't move. The question is though, were they buried? Or would he come bring them and they were just out in the open? They had to be buried. So he unearthed them? Is that what that's not that's big shilas to take, move people, to unbury people. So then, whatever. I have a lot of questions on these gemaras. Okay? So, hadar masin lei. There's a major machlokas also whether or not you can paskin from agadatas. There's a whole thing about whether you can paskin from agadatas at all. Some say that there's no psak from agadatas whatsoever. Sorry?
This is part of the can you paskin from agadatas from archaeology.
Well, because now you're digging up and you see.
Right, so now you see what
the city. Right. So he says this is from right. So there's some say you can't pass it off from a god. Others say you can pass from a god as long as it's not sosa or anything in the Gemara. Others say it's a god says Gemara. You can pass from it, which plays into consideration in the defense.
But it's not halacha. It's mechaga. Bearing back face up is that halacha?
Well, passing that you had passing that way. I'm saying
bearing it with tzitzis on, is that a?
Well, that's it. Tosos talks about that. Tosos says
these are all questions, but
no, it wasn't.
Now it's
puzzle. That's what this Tosos talks about. Now it's possible. Let's finish the story. We'll talk about the Tosos. So he says, you have to return to them because the Pasuk said that Hashem said that they're going to stay here forever. So you can't take anything away from them. So he gave it back, and then he was able to go. So when Rabbanan came to Rabbanan, Amar Li, they said to me, Kol Abba, whoever's name is Abba, Rabba's, the name of Rabba is Abba, right? Rabba turns into Rabba. Kol Abba, Chamra, is as stupid as a donkey. The Kol Barbar Chana Sichzachan. And Barbar Chana is a fool. Lemay Hilchsa Avos Hachi. Why'd you want to take the corner? Lemeida Ikebe Shama Ikebe Hillel. You want to know whether you hold like Beis Shama that you put 4 chutin or Beis Hillel you put 3. So you buy like Lemitne Chutin Lemitne Chulios. You should have at least looked at it before you put it back. So the answer that they say, the Arab version is, let's go. Your tour guide's leaving. You don't want to sit there and start being lying. Okay, so question though is though, can it seems from here that you're buried with a kasher talis. Buried with a kasher talis. So Tosa says, Mashma Hacha sheyishtitzis lemesim. But Tosa says, no, it's all right, because they never buried themselves dead. What did the door of Midbar do? Every Tisha B'Av night, they would lie down in the graves alive. So they were alive when they went into the kvarim. And in the morning, whoever woke up, woke up. Whoever was dead, they buried. That was it. So it wasn't like you buried the dead with the tzitzis. The guy was alive when he went down into the grave. Right? Yesh litchos shehayu nechmasim mechayim bekever. Ki the amr midrash, shekol erev tesh vav, hayu hoch kishen chayim letoch kevarehem. Vayabadus baskal yotzis vaomeres, hibadlu chayim in amesim. He says, maybe we can bring another ayah. Abeshi raimi perek tcheles. The amr shmuel kli kufsa chayim metzitzis. Whole thing about that. So they come back and forth. So it seems that the minhag was to bury with kasher tzitzis. So Rabbeinu Tam says, Amar Rabbeinu Tam shama mizikne lotir, which I think means like Lorraine's, you know, Alsace Lorraine's. I think that's what the lotir is. Lefisha tzitzis edus hu shekayim kol Torah, right? Tzitzis is edus that you are mekayim kol Torah, and since we know that we're not mekayim kol Torah, we can't wear tzitzis because it's like ma'ayid edus sheker, right? Right, the tzitzis Allah top reish v'chas chotim heiksharm hari taryag va'achshav she'in chashuvim kol kach harei ki ilu me'edit sheker. That's where he says we don't wear tzitzis, but we don't put tzitzis in. And the reish says the difference is that in those times the door of midbar everyone wore tzitzis, and in our times not everyone wears tzitzis, so therefore it's loig l'rosh that to the people, you know, embarrassing the people didn't wear tzitzis to bring them in. And then the other shah say, hey, well, if there's a mitzvah to wear tzitzis, the whole sugya of loig l'rosh, the story is that you're walking around working in the cemetery, and someone's tchelos was dragging on the ground, and he got yelled at, you got to stick it in because it's embarrassing to the dead people that you have tzitzis. Aye, but they are supposed to be buried in tzitzis. Why is that considered loig l'rosh? So because you're saying that you're bar chiyuva and you're mekayim a mitzvah, and they're not mekayim a mitzvah. Then there's another machlok that says maybe you should bury, the fact whether you bury in tzitzis or not, this is all in Tosos, is whether or not the mitzvahs are going to be kept in asur level. If mitzvahs are going to be kept in asur level, then you have to be buried in tzitzis, because when you wake up, you got to have your tzitzis on. But if mitzvahs are not going to be mekayim in asur level, then there's no need to have your tzitzis. Our minhag is, and Daniel will verify this, is that you put on regular tzitzis, and then you passel them. And then you pass them. There's a story, I think the Gospel brings it down, there's a story about the Gra, that the Gra said that he wanted to be buried with his tzitzis. So he told one of his Talmidim, that Aruch HaShochar brings down the story, he told one of his Talmidim, and then when it came time to bury the Gra, the Talmud got sick, and he wasn't in the room. So the other people didn't know, and they cut the tzitzis, and when he came back in the room, he got all upset. And the Rabbanim says, no, it's a simen, you know, it's like the fire. You know, when these things happen to the Gra, you know, there's a simen in the Shemayim, they shouldn't deviate from the middle. The Gra had the same thing when he wanted to institute Birchos Kohanim. And the story was that the yeshiva burnt down. So, whatever. So that's what, but the Armin, I'm pretty sure Armin gets to bury with tzitzis and then pass on them to go in. I don't know what the point is being buried with pasal tzitzis is, but that's the minute. Okay. Next, Amr Li, this Socher Yishmaeli says to me, Ta achwe lach har Sinai. I'll take you to Har Sinai. So, Ozli, bechazi dahadle akra vekhaimik khamik chivarte. I saw that Har Sinai was surrounded by scorpions, who are on top of white donkeys. So to say what the scorpions are, the scorpions are like a defense. Same thing, it's like Takanis Rabbanon or a seal of the Torah, the defense around Har Sinai, and they're on the Chamarim Levanim, on these white donkeys, which apparently symbolizes the Talmid Chamim. So that's the Talmid Chamim, surround Har Sinai to protect the Torah. Mishamati Basko, I heard a Basko come out, so Omer is oily, the Basko says, woe to me that I swore. Right, I swore what? I swore to put Bnei Yisrael into Golos. So the Achshav Shenishbati, and now they made this oath. Me Meferli, who's going to be made from my neder? I don't know. Based on Shemal, I'll be made for his neder. I'm supposed to make Fisher's own neder. I don't know. So ki us l'kami the Rabbanon. So when they came to Rabbanon, Amrli, he said to the story. Amrli, they said to me again, Kol Avachamra, the Kol Babrachan Sichsa, Hayla Chalomer Mupralach. You should have said Mupralach. You should have been made for their neder. But who suffered? But Rabbi Rachanas thought maybe Dilma Shuas the Mabul. Maybe he was saying that I regret having made the Shuah the Mabul. I regret having made the Shuah that I'll never destroy the world again. So Rabban said, oh no, that can't be. But Rabban, Im Kain Oili Lamali. Why do you say Oili? Why do you say woe to me? So he must be was talking about. So again, what's the halakha that he can be made for the neder? Tosus brings down the tame of the Amai Enakonish Baruch Hu made for Baatzmo. Tamasikin Masechas Chagiga the Darim the Yeshlan Afara. Midiksiv Hashem is bati biapi, v'darshinu right. Hashem is bati biapi. We say every Friday night. V'darshinu ba'api nishbati v'chozrani, and I was chozer on it. Alma shehu made for biatzmo. He was able to make for. Hashem's Baruch was able to make for his own nedarim. And then, but on that we ask, but he kasha the heich meifil atzmo. How can be made for your own nedar? Because it says we learn in the darim lo yochel debaro mikan lechachem shein meifil atzmo. You're not allowed to make for your own nedar. The other question is, what does it mean mefer? Hafaras nedarim is what's done from a man to from a husband to a wife, right? But everything else, Rav Chacham, is hataras nedarim, right? You mean matir neder. That's it. So I heard vort that what is hafara? Hafara is the relationship between a man and a wife, a husband and a wife. So the relationship between the Kadosh Baruch Hu and the Hamidi Chachamim is hafara. That's what they're saying to him. By hafara, you don't even need a reason. As soon as the husband hears it, you can be made for the nether right away. The Chachamim and the Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's a husband and wife relationship. Usually it's the other way around. We say that the Kadosh Baruch Hu is the husband, but whatever. So he says, here, you should have heard, you heard it right away. You should have been made for the nether. You didn't have to even hear an excuse. Okay? That's that story. Amar Li, the Arab merchant says to me, I'm going to go now and show you the where the Bnei Korach are buried. I saw two like red mounds, and smoke was coming out from them from the heat of Gehenna. Right, it's the heat of Gehenna. This is the opening of Gehenna where smoke is coming out. Shaka gaba de amros. The Arab guy took these wool shearings, and he soaked them in water. With the atz of a roaster romcha, and he stuck them on the head of a spear, and he took the spear and he stuck it in the hole. But Eili lahasam, and he put them into the cracks. The ki apik habi icharuche. When he took them out, they were totally burnt. They were singed. That's how hot it was down there. That even the wet sponge got totally singed. Right? Amar li, so the Arab merchant said to me, atzeis my shamat. Listen to what you hear. V'shamat the habi amrin. He heard that they were saying Moshe v'terasu emes v'hein badoyim, that Moshe and his Torah are true, and they themselves are liars. Right, Amr Ali. So Amr Ali, the Arab guy, said back to him, "Kol klasin yomi." Every 30 days, mahadlu gehenim lahacha. They get shaken up. It's like almost like a rotisserie. They're on a rotisserie. They go around. They go around. Or the cauldron. They go around in gehenim. They come back to this spot. Kibasur bikalachas. Right, mahadlu gehenim lahacha. Kibasur kalachas. Amr Yehach, and they say Moshe b'terasa emes vehein ba'doyin. So what's this whole thing of 30 days? What is it coming back? Why does it happen? Why does it happen? You know, constantly. It's a good question. So the Ritva says that you're judged every 30 days in Gehenna. Not a good place. Not a good place to go. So what's 30 days also? 30 days is the say this word. 30 days is the time for the Levana, right? It's Mechadish every 30 days. What's the story with the Levana? The story with the Levana in the Medrash and Brachos was that he said that I and the sun should be exactly the same thing, and he was punished. And that was also the sin of Korach and his other. Kolam kulam kidoshim, v'bisocham Hashem, v'aduus esnasos kal Hashem. That they felt that everyone was Kaddish. They didn't think that there was any, you had anything, there was difference between anybody. So similar to the Levana, that's every 30 days has its cycle, so too they have a cycle every 30 days. But I thought that was Korach's sin. I don't know if that was the Adas case, because maybe the people side were Bnei Reuven and they were fighting over something else. Because Bnei Korach didn't fall in. Don't pass him from a god. Okay. Next story. Amar Li. So Rav Rachana said that the Arab merchant said to him, come and I'll show you the place where the earth and the heaven meet. Right? Where heaven and earth kiss each other. So he went up. Okay, and they bring down the Ein Yaakov was quoted by the Bach. He went up and he saw that the heaven was made up of windows. You know, Bill Gates didn't create it. There are windows before in Shemayim. So Shakalta Lisiltoi is Nachta Bekavsa Derekia. So I took my basket and I placed it in one of the windows in heaven. I guess he put it down in heaven. Dematzlina Beite below Ashkani. So I davened and I went back to look for my basket and it wasn't there anymore. So I said back to the Arab guy, Aminalei. Are there ganavim around here that can steal your basket? So he says, no. It's the wheels that keep on turning. What was that song? The wheels in the sky keep on turning. There you go. Parler, right? Journey. Okay. The wheels in the sky keep on turning, and I'll come back to this. You don't know what will be tomorrow, but tomorrow will come. It'll come back. So what's the story here? To say here what it is maybe is that you went up to Shemayim with your Olam Hazeh. You had your basket. And you thought if you put it in Shemayim, you put all your faith in Shemayim, and you do everything, and it's always going to be there. But the answer is, we don't know the ways of the world. Sometimes, you know, the wheels in the sky turn, and you don't always have what you have. You still have to be talking. Come back tomorrow. Kadosh Baruch Hu knows what's going to be. Maybe the next day you'll see what the purpose of having this taken away from you is. What? You like that for it. Right. Okay. Rav Yochanan Mishtoi. Now, now we leave Rav Rachana for a little bit, and we go on to some other people. I think that one that I said was from the Gra. Maybe similar to what the Gra says. Okay. So Rav Yochanan Mishtoi. Rav Yochanan had the following story. Zimnachad habakazlina b'sifinta. Once I was going on a ship, right? B'kazina hahu kavra, and we saw a certain fish, the afgele reisha miyama, who stuck out its head from out of the sea. V'damyan enei kitrei sihari, and we saw that its eyes were like two moons. They were big like two moons. V'nafutz maya mitarte zime, and water gushed out of its two nostrils, kitrei mavri v'sura, like the two rivers of Sura. Okay, what does that mean? I don't know. But, where was that? So the Marsha says that the Kavra is the mazal of Adar, the month of Adar, which is fish, right? And the afkilaration Mimai took out its head from the water. That's the end of the rainy season, and even at the end of the rainy season, its eyes look like moons. At the same, that just like the moon adds water, so to an Adar you add water, because that's when the snow melts. I don't know. I don't know what that means. I don't even know what that means. But the article he brings down that based on the Olos Ephraim that it's talking about referring to Torah. The fish who coming out Olos Ephraim is the Kliyakar, right? So he claims that the fish is an Amaretz, right? He's an Amaretz and water is he doesn't study Torah. But he says that even if for so many years you don't study Torah and then you put yourself to it, you can get water can come out of your nose like nostrils. At your nostrils like two rivers, because if you put your effort into it later in life, like Rabbi Akiva, you can still learn. It's never too late to start learning Torah. Okay, the next story. Rav Safra Mishtai, Rav Safra related the following story. Zim Nachad Havakazina Besvinta, I was once going on a ship. The Chazina Hu Kavram, we saw a certain fish, the Akmilaresha Miyama, which stuck out its head out of the sea. The Havale Karna, it had these big horns. The Chokik Alei, and on the horns were engraved, which is interesting, this whole idea of horns. That's what the Yavanim did with the shore, the Chokik on the horn. I wonder if there's a connection between that, right? The Chokik Alei, Ana Birya Kala Shevayam. I'm only a small, this guy, I think he's big. I'm only one of the small fish in the sea. I'm not a big fish, I'm a small fish. V'havina Tlasmei Parsei, and I'm 300 parsas long. That's a small fish, right? V'azlina Lepuma Diblasyon, and I now go into the mouth of Leviathan, meaning I'm supposed to be eaten by Leviathan, I'm going to be eaten. Imagine how big Leviathan is if it's eating a 300 parsa long fish. And Amar Rav Ashi said about this fish, Hahu Iza the Yamahu. This is the sea goat, the Bechisha of Isla Karna, which searches of its food and has horns. It's like a bottom feeder who uses its horns to turn up the seabed to get its food. So what does that mean? So based on the Ein Yitzchak, it's that the fish is an Amaretz. And the Amaretz has horns and it uses to dig into people. So an Amaretz usually goes and it goes and it digs. It takes digs at Talmidei Chachamim. Yes. Yeah, it takes jabs at these Talmidei Chachamim. But eventually the Talmidei Chachamim will prevail over these ignoramuses, and that's Leviathan who's going to eat these, which is weird. In this case, Leviathan is considered the Talmidei Chachamim. Usually we say Leviathan is the enemy, and in the end we're going to eat, but we can say, but Sukkah shall say Leviathan, and the Gemara shall say also, because this Leviathan was killed, and it's going to be salted, and the meat's going to be eaten. But here, according to this drash, Leviathan represents the Talmidei Chachamim. The Gra, I think Ein Eliyahu is the Gra.
Yes.
Ein Eliyahu is the Gra. So he brings here that the fish here, and other way around, is the Talmud Chacham who learned Mikra and Mishnah Halacha, God and Yiras Hashem, and the Afkel Reish Lamaya. In the beginning, he had the water and he was makabel the Torah from his Rabosav. But that's the other case. That was the case before with the fish. Okay, we said something over there. Fine. Next story. He said the story was he learned, and then he stuck his head out by himself to become. Now he's his own Talmud Chacham. He's out on his own. He stuck his head out, and when he starts teaching everybody else, he's going to have a lot of water come out from him, and now he's able to take what he learned, and the water's going to come out from him and pass to other people because the water's learned is like Torah. Okay, we're up to story number 18. Rabbi Yochanan Mishtoi, he gave the following story. Zimna chad habikazina besvinta. There was once I was going in a ship, the chazina hi kar tilisa, and we saw like this treasure chest, tabakamikavi by avon tovus margolios, which had all these precious stones and pearls and diamonds set in this treasure, in this chest. Bahajal Emina de Kavre, the Mikri Karsha. And it was surrounded, I guess it was protected by a fish called the Karsha. That was the name of the fish. So Nachis Bar Amoroi La Asuid. So a scuba diver jumped in, a guy who knows how, he jumped in to get the chest. A lot of the precious jewels on it, he wants the chest. The Ragash, but one of the fish surrounding it felt that this guy was coming to get the treasure chest. Ubay Lushamte La Atme, and he wanted to bite off his thigh. I don't know what that means, why the thigh. He wanted to get the thigh. Maybe it has to do with that's how you hit Yaakov with the thigh, I don't know. Bishad Zika Dechala. So what did the diver do? He had he knew what to do. He took a bottle of vinegar and he threw it on the fish. Vinachas, and because of the smell, it swam away. So now he has free access to get to the treasure chest. So Nafik Baskala Amarlan, and so Basko came out. Ma islechu b'hadi kartelita. What business do you have with this treasure chest full of treasures? The beside the Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, it's set aside for the wife of Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, who lived in absolute poverty, even though they were given the opportunity. She was to be wealthy. She lived in absolute poverty. The asida shishali tichelta bal tzadik amad asi for in this thing. I guess in this chest is the tcheles, right, that's going to be kept for the people in Olam Haba. So Olas Ephraim explains that what this chest is the reward that awaits you in Olam Haba. So what the problem with these guys saw the reward in Olam Hazeh, and they went to go after it. I want the reward in Olam Hazeh. And Kadosh Baruch Hu, first he says somebody to stop them. You fought so hard to try to get the reward. I'm going to tell you, the reward is not for now. The reward is for Asi Lavo, for someone who doesn't live in such opulence now, and his sacrifices in this world, then they'll be able to get the reward in Olam Haba. Then who's that? That's the wife of Chanina Mendoza. So what's why the Tchelas is in the chest of Chanina Mendoza's wife, so she's going to make tzitzis. So that bring down, some say maybe there's a raya from here, that women are kshiros to make tzitzis. Right? That's that. But the Rabbeinu Tam in Gittin says that woman is not kosher to make Kshayr to make tzitzis, right? Because just like they're not kosher to make tefillin and mezuzos, they're not kosher, right? It says kshartim, ksaftim. So kosher yeshno b'kshiro, yeshno b'ksiva. And therefore, Rabbeinu Tam says that any mitzvahs that a woman is not mitzuvahs aleihem, like a lulav and tzitzis, she's not kosher to make them. And so too is brought down in the Mordechai that the Maharami Rutenberg was makbid that women wouldn't make tzitzis. But the Tosos there in Gittin says that women are kosher to make tzitzis, and the Rosh in Gittin Perek Dalet Simen Memvav is mochiach from this maisa. That in the future, Rabbi Chanina Mendoza's wife is going to put the chelas on the tzitzis, and therefore it's obviously that she's kosher to make tzitzis, but they're only usher in making, they're only possible for psula for making tefillin and mezuzos and sefer Torah, only for stam, but not for tzitzis. Okay, that's what we said before. That comes down here. This is where they bring down whether you bring rayas from agadita. Right, so there's a Rabbeinu Tam in the Sefer Yosher. He says that everyone who's not Baki in Siddur of Amram, Halachas Dolos, Maseches Sof, and Pirkei Belezer, Talmud, Shar Sefer Gada, they can't destroy any previous Menhagim. Menhagim, there's something to do about Menhagim. And the Pri Chadosh, right? The Pri Chadosh says that there's a cloud that we know that we're not loaming from Agados. That's only when it's so ser, the Agada is so ser, Shas. But the Nodi Yehuda in Yordea Tinyana, Simon Kuf Samach Aleph, says that we're not loaned at all from the Drushos.
She made it.
For her to make later. I don't understand. Maybe it was a store for her to use and sell. Maybe she was going to get the reward for selling. Fenos is, I don't know. That would they bring it down to the right? What?
It's expensive.
Yeah, it was a big commodity. All right. Or maybe in next case. Next story, number 19. Rabbi Yehuda Hindu Mishtai. Rabbi Yehuda the Hindua. So some say he was from India, some say he was from Ethiopia. Hodu, where's Hodu? So, right, but the article says it's Ethiopian. Based on a Rashi in Kiddushin. Okay? He has the following story. Zimnachada Hadar Zinu Bespinta. I was once on a ship. The Chazina Hu Eben Tava. And we saw in the water a certain precious stone. Davahadu Leitinina, which was surrounded by some sort of sea monster. Nachas Ba'ar Morai Lasuye. So the diver went in to get it. Asa Tinona Kaboy the Mivla Leisvinta. So the sea monster saw, and now he came up and he wanted to swallow our ship. He's really protecting. He's not just going after the thigh. He's going to eat the whole ship. So Asa Pishkansa Paskin Resha. So a raven came down and chopped off the sea monster's head. Is Hapichu Maya Bahabudama. Right? So much blood came out of the sea monster that the water changed into blood. So another sea monster came, and took the precious stone, right, and hung it on the dead sea monster, and it revived him, right? The chayon, and it came alive. Hadar asa kaboy balda svinta, so it again came and he wanted to swallow the fish. And again, hadar asa sipra pasan the ration, another bird came and chopped off its head. So shal kula he even told us, thereupon the diver took the jewel, shadula svinta, and he threw it into the ship. So this is a resurrection stone, you know, it's like, I don't know what type of stone that is. We had these birds in our ship that were getting ready to salt, meaning we were about ready to eat them. Osimnu alayhu, the diver put the stone on top of these birds, shaklu, and they became alive, and they took the stone, uparchula bahadun, they flew off with it. So what's this story about? There's a malbin, the artist brings down a malbin, it's in the intellect, but I saw others that it's brought down here, that this is the story of Gullus. Precious stone is the Torah, and the sea monster are the other kingdoms that we're in Gullus. So first they try to swallow us, and then comes another sea monster to try to eat us. Right? It says we're no good. And then another one comes and kills that kingdom, and we live pretty well. We live okay during that time. But then comes another sea monster and wants to, you know, it's just the wheels of history. They keep going on. The precious stone is the Torah that we keep trying to use the Torah. They keep trying to take it away from us. Sometimes they allow us to learn Torah. Sometimes they don't allow us to learn Torah. I don't know how that answers the end. In the end, it flies off with the Torah. So I'm not exactly sure what that last point.
Why is the monster revived by the Torah?
Because I guess maybe he has some sort of like the Great Awakening that you had in the colonies in the 1600s and 1700s.
First one or the second one?
What?
The first Great Awakening or the second Great Awakening?
First Great Awakening. That was in the 1600s and 1700s, right? That was right, okay. So, I'm so excited. My daughter has a social studies test today. That's what she's learning about. Okay. So, that's that story. Now we're up to story number 20. And after the 21st story, then we're going to start learning about the Leviathan. Which, for some reason, all like the Goyim have these things about Leviathan. They use the Leviathan as the sea monster, and they really...
It's the only animal that's mentioned specifically in creation.
It's not mentioned in Maaseh Bereishis.
It's the only one mentioned.
Right, but the Machlokas would have Leviathan.
That is, right.
But
it's the only one that's singled out.
They have some thing. All these guys, the only thing they talk to me about...
It's the only one that's singled out. But it doesn't say she created elephants.
Right.
Only
10. What? But to see me too.
Right.
Right. He did. It's off in the cave, it's going to say. But they all talk to me about Leviathan and Lilith. I don't know where these guys... That's the questions they have of me. I walk around with a yarmulke. I don't shave during the 3 weeks. I don't shave now. But and they all talk about Lilith. That's what they all ask about. The Tanur Ramadan. Ma'aseh Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua. There's a story about Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua. Shehayu ba'in b'sfina. They were coming on a ship. Vahayu Rabbi Elazar yashen. Rabbi Elazar was sleeping. He must have taken the Ambien. Rabbi Yeshua ne'er, and he was awake. So nizda Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua trembled. B'ninar Rabbi Elazar. And then Rabbi Elazar woke up from the trembling of Rabbi Yeshua. Amar lo, Rabbi Elazar said to Rabbi Yeshua, Ma'aseh Yeshua, what's the matter? B'nei mam nizdata. Why did you shake so much? So Amar lo, Ma'or gadol re'isi b'yam. I saw in the sea a great light. So Amar lo, Elazar said to him, Shema Einam Shalav Yasam Risa. Maybe you just saw the eyes of the Leviathan. Because it says, Einav Ka'afafei Shachar. Its eyes are like the eyelids of dawn. I don't know what that means. Even the article doesn't say anything here. Doesn't say anything. I don't know. I don't know what that means. So he says, he brings the... He thought that maybe it was the big wave that's going to chop and knock us over. I don't know. Maybe he just got scared. Next story. I don't know what that one means. Amar Rav Asi. I don't know what that means. I don't understand how anyone explained that story. Amar Rav Asi. The last story. Amar Li Hunabar Nassim. Hunabar Nassim told me the following story. Zimna Chada Bekaz Lina Midbara. Once we were going in the desert. Vahave Atma De Bisar Bahadon. And we had with us a piece of meat. Pisachna Nakrina. So now we cut it open. And we're going to take away, we're going to do Nikor Agid. We're going to take out the Gid of Nassim. And we're going to clean it out so we can eat it. We placed it on the grass on the side. And we were ready to roast it. So while we were going to get wood to cook, chalam atma. So this thigh regained its original form. And then we roasted it whole. We ate it completely. I don't know how they can do that. I guess once you took it out, whatever happens to it afterwards, it's now still kosher. Ki hadron. So then when we came back to the scene, levasa teresa yarchishata. 12 months later. We saw that the same coals that we used to cook were still burning. He asked the Kamida Memer, so when they came for a Memer, told him a story. Amar Li, he said to me, Hahu ispa samtire haba. What you used was the samtiri, right? It's a certain herb. Rashbam says a certain herb that help, that heals. It's a healing herb. Hahu gumri drupta haba. And the coals that we used were rosim, right? These are mentioned in that these burned for a very, very, very long time. So I don't know what that means either. I don't know what they mean. What's the point of that? Of that story. So I was trying to look and have time to finish looking, but I know. I know. No one doesn't have anything. All right. So that's the story. Now, the Gemara is now going to discuss the creation of the Leviathan, of Leviathan. So like Menachem just said, this pasuk in Perek Aleph, pasuk Chav Aleph, in Bereishis says, "Vayivro Elohim es hataninim hagdolim," and God created the great sea monsters. That's how you translate it, right? So there are two of them, right? So Hachor Targimo in Babel Hachor, they translated it as being Arzile the Yama, the Reimim of the sea. That's what the sea monsters. Rav Yochanan Amar, Rav Yochanan said, "Yisrael zel lebiyasa nachosh b'riach." The great sea monsters are number one, the Leviathan, which is the straight snake. It's nachosh b'riach, but lebiyasan nachosh akaloson, and lebiyasan that's curved. Shemar, the pasuk says in Yeshayahu Perek Chav Zayin, "Bayom ahu yipkod Hashem b'charbo hakasha," right? "Bayom ahu yipkod Hashem b'charbo hakasha hagdola v'chazaka al lebiyasan nachosh b'riach al lebiyasan nachosh akaloson." Right, so the male nachash is straight, and the female nachash, Rashbam says, is curved. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rab. Yehuda said the name of Rab. Kol Masha Baruch Hu Olamo. Every creature that Kadosh Baruch Hu made in the world, Zochron and the Kevah Baron. He created them both male and female. The idea being is everyone has to realize they're not supposed to be alone. They're supposed to have some joint. They're supposed to be joined together. Right, but nevertheless, right, but and Af Lebiyasa Nachash Bariach. He also created the straight, He also created Leviathan Zachor Nekeva. He created one straight, and the Leviathan Nachash Bariach, the Leviathan Nachash Akalason Zachor Nekeva Ron. He created them male and female. The Ilmalim is cut themselves there, but if they would mate together and they would have children, Machrib and Kolam Kula, they would destroy the world because they're so big. So Me'as Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So what Hakadosh Baruch Hu do? Seris es Hazachor. So he made the Zachor infertile. Right, so he can't. This point being, Rashbam says now he can't even mate with any other fish. Like fish are very apparently they mate a lot, and this guy can't. It won't. The guy was a saris, but that wasn't enough. But Haragas in the cave, he killed the female Leviathan. Umulachul atzadikim lasiv lava, and he salted it to preserve it as food for the tzadikim in the future. Because the pasuk says, it's a pasuk also. It says, "Vayom ahu yikod Hashem echar b'kosh b'dolav b'kazaka Leviathan nachash b'riach Leviathan nachash klasan." He killed a serpent that was in the sea. I don't know. So that's what he did. The Gemara says now also the behemoth. The behemoth is another big animal. Apparently, it was created on day 6. Vaf behemoth bahare olef, and also the behemoth of the thousand hills. Zachor nekev baram. He also made them zachor nekev. The amal and the zachor zelazen. If they would mate together, machrim kolam kulo. So me'asar kodesh baruch hu. Sirius zachor. He castrated them, the male. But sina him nekev. And he cooled off the female. He didn't kill her. In this case, he just cooled her off. He made it. It had no emotion. It was cold hearted and it had no emotion. It had no desire to be with the male. Ushemar la tzadikim lasavolo. And he preserved it again for the righteous in the time to come. So you can eat this one as well. Shneamar, the pasuk says, this is an Eov, right? The pasuk says, "Hine na kocho b'masna." Behold, now with strength in its loins, zez zachar v'ono b'shiriri bitno, and its power in the navel of its belly is only cable. That no offsprings were born from it. Rashbam says that's how what it means. So Gemara asks, okay, so hasam nami in the case of the Leviathan, why do you have to kill the female? Lisarshe the zachar l'tzani l'kevo, just cool off the female. He says, no, dagim apritzim. Dug him on prutzim, and therefore, even if you cool it off, it won't be enough, and she'll still have a desire, and she'll still procreate. So the Gemara says, "Labid ifkha." Maybe he could have done the reverse, meaning killed and salted the male, and then sterilized the female. Why did you have to kill the female? So Ibai Seima, two answers. Ibai Seima, the kevi milchamale. Maybe the salted meat of the salted fish meat of a female, it tastes better than of the male, and since he's being saved for Kadosh Baruch Hu later for the tzadikim, what a better tasting one. Ibai Seima, or you can say no, it's an issue of tznius. came in the Ksiv, since it says in Tehillim, Libyasan Zay Yitzakla Sachik Bo, so they didn't bark in Ashi, I think. So you're going to play with the Libyasan for sport. But Hadin the Kabel Lab Orcha Ara, it's not proper to make sport with a female. So therefore, you had to kill the female and keep the male. So the Gemara says further, Hachinami Lemilchel in the Kabel. So why did God, in the case of the behemoths, he didn't kill her, he just kept her for later? Why did he kill her? And salted it and keep it for later. So he says, "Karban milchum ali, karban milchalom, bisra milchalom ali." Salted fish is good, but salted animal meat is not so good. I don't know. I got to look into see what this what's this all about? About the fish of the meat of the is it really MS? We're going to have the meat of Lubyosin? We'll talk about what it means.
So in the future,
the Lubyosin
will still be alive.
The male Lubyosin apparently is still alive now.
And will stay alive.
And will stay alive. And Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to be misachik with it. But the female of Yasson is dead, waiting to be eaten by the tzaddikim in Asid Lavo. What? It's not a lot. It's a little bigger, right? So now another thing. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. B'shash had biggest Kadosh Baruch Hu liberos ha'olam. But at the time when Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to create the world, Amar Losar Shalyam, he said to the angel of the sea, like a few, it's like Poseidon. I don't know who the he's the god of the sea, right? Right? Psach picha, open your mouth, ubila ko meimos v'olam, open your mouth and swallow up all the waters of the world. Because in the beginning of creation, the whole world was covered by water. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Ruk, open up your mouth and swallow up the water. So we can see the sea. So Amar l'fanav, the malach of the sea said, Ribono shel olam, daisha amu b'shali, it's enough, I can manage to swallow my own water. Meaning all the fresh water falls into the sea, and I gotta swallow all that to keep it. I can't take the rest of the world's water. So miyad bod bo baharago. So right away, God kicked him and killed the malach. He killed the malach. God's gone. He killed the malach. Shneh Amar, the pasuk says, "Bikocho raga hayam utpunosam machatz Rahav." Right, God split the sea with His might, and with His understanding, He smote Rahav. Rahav means the proud people. Right, that's from Eov. So he's saying that talks about him killing the sea angel. So Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, said, Shema Minam could derive from here that Sar Shayam Rav Shmo, that the Sar of the Yam is Rahav, because that says Machas Rahav. The Umali Mai Nechasin also, and if not for the fact that the waters cover Rahav, Ain't Kol Birya Yachol L'chol Lama Berecho, no creature will be able to stand from the stench of its carcass, that when Hashem killed it. Shanem Ars, the Pasuk says, again, I think there's an Eov, Lo Yareyu V'lo Yashrisu B'chol Har Kodshi, Kamayin L'yam Nechasin. They're not going to harm me, and my mountain, because the earth is covered, like the water covering the sea. That's from Yeshayahu. That's the thing. Al tikri leyam mechasim. Don't read it covering the sea. El lesaros yam mechasim. Rather, read it to covering the patron angel of the sea. And therefore, you don't smell it. Okay. What are we up to? How big is tomorrow? Pretty big. Okay. So, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Yarden Yotzim Yimaris Pamyas. The Jordan River comes from a cave called the Pamyas, which is, I think, maybe the Banyas. It comes from some cave over there. That's where its source. Tainami Hachi, we have a letter of Brisa, that Yarden Yotzim Yimaris Pamyas, the Jordan River comes from the cave of Pamyas. Umahalach B'yamash L'Svichi B'yamash L'Tveria, and it goes through the Sea of Sivchi, not sure what that is, and through the Sea of Tveria, which I guess is the Kinneret. Umisgagal B'yor L'Yam HaGadol, and it rolls down to the Mediterranean Sea. That I don't know how that works. The Jordan doesn't go straight down. I don't know what that means. Umisgagal B'yor L'Yam HaGadol, and it goes all the way down until it reaches the mouth of the Yosan. Shenemar Yiftach, it's the Yosan is confident ki yagiach yarden alpiu, because the Jordan flows into its mouth. So Masif LaRav Barula V'habiv Hemus Mahari Elav Ksiv. That pasuk of Yiftach ki yagiach yarden alpiu is not talking about the Yosan. It's talking about the Behemos of the Thousand Hills. So he says Ella Amar Rav Barula. Rav Barula says Emesai Behemus Mahari Elav Betuchos. When are these Behemos confident that it's going to stay alive? When the Jordan River flows into the Leviathan's mouth. So as long as the Leviathan continues to drink water, then, and it lives, Rashbam says, so then the behemoths are also confident that they're going to live. The art school brings out the Marsha, that this is a reference to a Midrash, that the Leviathan and the behemoths are going to eventually do battle. Right? They're going to be gladiators, so to speak, as sport for the tzaddikim. I don't know. So the it says here, the behemoth will attack Leviathan with its horns and gore him, and Leviathan will attack the behemoth with its fins and rend him. Both will die in the same battle. So thus, as long as Leviathan is occupied by drinking water and is not intent on the battle, the behemoth is confident it's going to live as well. The Marashah.
They're fighting on the sea, or they're fighting on the land?
It's So, well, who has the advantage? Okay, so we'll stop here.
Go ahead.